mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family.
Welcome home.
It's your mom and dad. Hello, family. Hello. So today, as you can tell by the title, we are discussing Traitors episodes 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot to talk about with those two episodes. But right out the gate, wanted to have a little bit of a family moment. So as I'm sure a lot of you have seen, our dear friend who's been on the podcast many times as well, Katie Thurston, a couple days ago announced on social media that she has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And obviously the details of that are Katie's to share, but I wanted to take a moment to just talk about Katie.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, obviously, most of you all have seen her seasons of The Bachelor, Bachelorette, and see her on social media. But I wanted to talk about her from more of a personal place as like a dear friend of ours. Katie Thurston is simultaneously the kindest and strongest person I know.
It's insane.
When I say kind, I'm talking about the type of kind where, you know, after barely knowing you for a little bit, she hears you once mention that you and your family love going to the beach together. And right. So then the next time she comes and visits, she's bought beach chairs and towels and say, I thought you would enjoy these.
Right.
Or hears that a friend of yours is sober and months later knows that she's going to be seeing them and brings to a party non-alcoholic fun drinks for this person she doesn't know. She's the type of person who, when her and I go out to dinner, she's like, let's bring back leftovers for Evan. I'm not even thinking about Evan. And she's like, I bet Evan's hungry. Like, let's make sure to bring him things he's going to like. Like, she just thinks about people and loves people harder than anyone I have ever met. And the people who are close to her see this on the regular. And I just have to say that because, you know, a lot of people don't even know to what extent she's constantly helping people because she doesn't talk about it. I don't know what I did in a past life to deserve a friend like Katie, but I'm so grateful that I have her in my family and my daughter who is obsessed with her, who she treats like a literal queen. But like I said, simultaneously, she's also the strongest person I know. The fortitude that she has is it's unparalleled. And beyond that, the strength in any time something happens to Katie that is so terrible or so unfair, I am telling you the very first thing that this woman does is think about, right away will say to me or someone else she loves, like, okay, how can I use this and share this so that it can help other people.
Right.
And I'm like, if I'm in the situation, understandably so, I'm thinking about me. Right. Katie is thinking about how she can help other people. And we see it as her friends personally, but I know all of you see it as well too, just with how she uses her platform, how she is so willing to share so vulnerably and always has resources and is wanting to help people and connect people. And she's incredible. And I don't have words for how heartbroken and how fucking enraged I am for her right now. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Katie Thurston is going to kick cancer's ass. Katie Thurston is going to kick cancer's ass. The bitch has never met Katie Thurston. Know what I mean? So I wanted to talk with the fam for a minute just to say that, you know, we have such an incredible, incredible community here, and I'm so grateful for all of you. And I would love and encourage you all to just flood Katie's DMs yeah. with love and encouragement.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about right now post all of this coming to the forefront. I'm talking about in the weeks and months to come. Please, can we just flood her DMs with love and encouragement? Because, you know, obviously a lot of you maybe don't know her personally, so you might not have hands-on access and ways to help, but words mean so much. Mm. So if we can just flood those DMs.
Yeah.
And also, as a personal favor to us, yeah. I would so appreciate if any of our family members who, if we have any family members here who are warriors, who have battled through mm-hmm. cancer, or if you yourself have a close friend or family member who has gone through cancer, it would mean a lot to us if you would slide into our DMs, our podcast DMs, and let us know ways that we can best support Katie.
Yeah.
I want to be able to make sure that, you know, our family is able to support her in the best way possible. So any of you who have gone through this or have dear friends or family who have experienced this, it would mean a lot because yeah. we want to support her the best way that we can.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, there's like a sense of helplessness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like the surrounding positions, you know, you're kind of like, I don't know what is needed. I don't know how to yeah. reach out. And then I think there's also a lot of pressure then too, kind of like on the person who's going through this to then like be the one to provide direction.
Right. To let you know. Right.
And then,
of course.
But then it's like, but then it's also like, that's more work for them.
Yes.
And so then it's like, you're kind of, you don't want to put them in a position where you're like, tell me what to do. Cause then they have to figure out how to give you a job. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think just like any education on how to be helpful is huge. I think also Katie's one of those that I think that she can get forgotten about when it comes to helpfulness, because she's the one that's so helpful all the time and so selfless. And so I think
she's
that
always taking care of all the rest
right,
of us.
Right. And I think so. That because certain people like that are so strong, mm-hmm. they get kind of taken for granted and taken advantage of, because like they're always the ones that mm-hmm. think of all the thoughtful things and think of how to help people. And you know what I mean? And then they aren't the first person people think of on how to help
yeah.
because they're the strong one.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, you know, even just reaching out to her, like not forgetting that she's just a person going through maybe the hardest thing she'll ever go through in her whole life. And that, you know, don't mistake her strength for, oh, she's good. You know what I mean? It's like, she's just in the middle of the fight of her life right now. And so, you know, she's thinking about everybody else except herself. And so we have to be there to think about her.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that would be so helpful, family. And Katie, we love you mm-hmm. so much. You are our absolute queen. And, you know, I will tell you this. We're, like we said, we're talking traitors today. And it's appropriate because Katie Thurston needs to be on the damn traitors.
Yeah.
Let me make something very clear to you. Katie Thurston needs to be on this show. And we will manifest that Katie Thurston will be on a future season of yeah. this show. Because Katie has been going through this, watching some of the seasons. And her and I have been talking about it. And the show would not be ready for Katie.
Katie also just like wins everything she tries at in a crazy way too.
When she did the poker
yeah,
tournament.
Yeah, she's like, well, she just jumps on a reality TV show, then
is the lead,
and then kills it. Then gets recruited to be the lead. Then just like does a poker show and then wins it all. She's one of those like freaks.
Well,
you know what
she's
I mean?
She is so stinking smart, and so this show. She would win traitors.
Yes.
She would demolish traitors. Okay, so.
She needs to be on.
We need to, that's the other job. You know, we're sending the messages to the producers. She needs to be on an upcoming season of Traitors. That is for sure.
After she beats this, straight to Traitors
straight
as
to
a
traitors.
Victory lap.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what I would give though, to see her on this current season with Tom Sandoval.
She would be iconic.
What I would give, the iconic ITMs that we would have gotten from Katie Thurston with Tom Sandoval. Because the thing about Katie is she has like the softest heart ever. And she, you know, she's a crier. Bless
right.
her. It makes me so happy when I'll say something like emotional to her. I'll get the tears and my heart is
yeah.
just so big. So she'd be like in the ITMs crying, feeling emotional about people having to go home. But then all of a sudden she'd hear like Tom Sandoval in the background and just be like.
Well, I also feel like with this whole Tom situation, it's like, do people not have senses of humor? like, there's a lot of people who, like, I feel like if I was witnessing all this, yes, I would be dying laughing. But people are getting mad at him, and they're like, he's so annoying, and I'm going, this is pure comedy.
How
do you not see this guy as an alien and just be laughing at all the bizarre shit he does?
I do feel there is a difference to watch a person on screen
versus in person,
versus have to be trapped in a small confinement with someone who seems like...
I still just couldn't take anything he says seriously. I just would be laughing. But I'd be like, this is unbelievable.
Incorrigible.
Yes.
That it would just be like, Tom, you're stressing me out.
Right. Oh,
regardless,
yeah,
of how I feel about everything you've done, Tom,
yes,
you are stressing me out.
Correct.
I need your wild energy to get away from me. But I do feel like Katie would be one of the ones
who would be
absolutely dying and be serving like the best ITMs ever. So we will. She will be on Trainers. Yes. We are manifesting this. But we love you so much, Katie. And
yes,
please, family, just let's come together as a family,
yes,
and pour that love out on Miss Thurston. That's for sure. Okay. We got to talk Traitors.
Let's get into this.
We got to talk Traitors. There are a lot of things that went down, and I cannot believe some of the things that came to the surface.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Tom, there's a lot to talk about with Tom this episode. But first, we got to take a quick pause. Family, I would imagine it would be hard to sleep in the Traitor's Castle if you were on this cast. I'd be nervous, number one, because it's probably haunted. I would be stressed because of the gameplay. And also, I would be very afraid of the nightmares I would get after hearing Sandoval singing. It would keep me up all night, right? Sleep would be a struggle. Well, actually, not anymore, because we found something that helps us fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. That's why we're so excited to talk about Beams Dream Powder, a science-backed, healthy, hot cocoa for sleep. Fam, wow. Okay, sleep has always been an issue for me. I have a hard time falling asleep, not waking up a bunch of times in the middle of the night, and then ultimately I wake up not feeling great, which is a huge issue. Sleep is the foundation of whole body health. When we sleep well, our minds and our bodies perform at their best, which is why I am so grateful for Beams Dream Powder. This product has single-handedly changed the way I sleep for the better. Dream is tested for high-quality efficacy and formulated to ease your body into rest, supporting all four stages of the sleep cycle to help you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. And here's the thing, other sleep aids can cause that like next day grogginess. I've tried it before and I don't feel great the next day. But Dream contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. I am telling you, fam, the way I sleep and the way I wake up after this Dream Powder, it's a gift.
Complete game changer.
It's a complete game changer.
Complete game changer. And on top of all that, it's delicious.
It's so good.
Like, really good.
Yeah.
It's available in flavors like sea salt, caramel, brownie batter, and many, many more. Each serving is only 15 calories and 0 grams of sugar. We can say this in confidence, better sleep has never tasted better. And Beam Dream is easy to add in your nighttime routine. Just mix in Dream into hot water or milk, froth, and enjoy before bedtime.
A delicious, cozy treat before bed that gives me the best sleep. That's going to be
Done.
A big yes for me.
Done.
And you know I love a cozy treat before bedtime,
yep,
too. Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, this is a must try. I've been blown away by the sleep that I've been getting. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/momdad and use code momdad at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/momdad and use code momdad for up to 40% off. Okay, family, let's talk
right.
Traitors episodes 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be going in the order 7 and 8, but we'll bounce back and forth. So if you haven't seen episode 8, just as a heads up, we're going to be talking about that. And I think the biggest shock to me about mm-hmm. these two episodes was the downfall of Rob going into the rise of Sandoval.
I mean, who would have saw that swap coming?
I could not believe, Evan.
Listen, if you guess everybody,
Eventually. You know what?
It's like alternative universes. You know what I mean? It's like a Rubik's Cube. It's like you just keep doing it. And then in some alternative universe in 6,000 years from now, you'll win.
Yeah. When Sandoval is like, hey, dude, it's Dolores. It's Chrishell. It's Iva. It's Sam. It's Robin. It's eventually you will eventually going to get it. Rob.
Right? I mean, the chances are you will land it over many years.
I just wish... I actually don't wish, because this would have been hell on earth, but I do kind of wish I would have had eyes on really all the tapes of how Sandoval was the next 24 hours following him essentially taking down Rob. He had to be the most obnoxious,
insufferable. Here's what I will say, though.
To be around where he's just leaning on the couches, getting the drink, just being like, yeah, I don't know, man. I felt it in my bones. What could I say?
Here's my personal kind of, I'm just throwing this out there.
Yeah.
I think he's top two.
I think he is too.
I think he's played the perfect game. Unknowingly played the perfect game. Here's why he's played the perfect game. No one really likes him.
No.
Right?
Nobody likes him.
So no one really likes him, but no one is threatened by him.
Correct.
So up until this last episode, he was just kind of constantly being like, Tom, can you please leave us alone? Right? Yeah. We don't believe you. You just gassed everyone. Your theories are insane.
Just be standing in the corner of every room like this. Can I join in the conversation?
Right. So up until, up until this time, he's done an incredible job of being virtually meaningless to any of them. Okay. Then he comes out of nowhere and takes Rob down.
Yeah.
Okay. But he doesn't really finish it in a clean way.
No, it's not quite him.
And he doesn't say it. Like, it is him. He's the one that kind of put the fire.
He rallied everyone together.
But he's not the one with the finishing blows. It was the other people who were a little bit more, like, well-spoken, a little bit more, like, had the thought process to kind of really draw it all together. But he lit the fire. So.
And, can I add this? Yeah. And cut to then episode 8, where he's making massive blunders.
Yes.
So everyone's like, he's back to square one again.
It up. Yeah. So what's great about him is that he's so 100% proven to be a faithful.
Yes.
But he's also occasionally getting things right. But then he's also going back into being annoying. So what that does is it just makes no one care to get rid of him or join in with him. And now he's a threat. So he's perfectly put himself in this position where he's meaningless to the traitors and the faithful.
You know, we were giving Danielle.
So he's not threatening to either party, which means like everyone's going to eat each other until like Tom's just alone at the end. And everyone's like, how the fuck did we lose? And Tom's just like, I won. Like, there is a world where Tom wins this thing.
We were making fun of Danielle for calling Tom Sandoval a maverick, but she might be right.
I mean, he's an unintentional genius. Like, there is a world where he wins by default because people forgot he was there.
Evan, I'm not joking. I do believe Iva and Tom will be in the final four.
I think they'll just be like, want to split the money?
And
like, they might just be like, let's split the money.
And Iva's not even going to know what's happening. They're going to be like, this is the final four. And Iva's going to be like, may I get some tea? And his like just gaze floating somewhere like, else.
You got to suspect that Tom might win this thing. So if you're going to recruit, you recruit Tom. Because knowing.
You can't recruit Tom.
No, you recruit Tom. Here's why you recruit Tom. Because the second he becomes a traitor, his whole personality will change.
So then they're going to know. So everyone's going to know he's a traitor.
You know what I'm saying?
So then they'll knock him out and they'll get their taste of blood.
So just start like, he'll just kind of like, he'll become a traitor and the next day he'll be like, you know what I mean? Like, he'll be like up on the wall being like
a cat burglar.
He'll come in, he'll have like new makeup on. The makeup will be like, you know, like, like his eyes will, he'll have some sort of like paint on. He'll just completely change his personality.
He's going to come in wearing a Phantom of the Opera mask and
he'll
be like, Tom, why are you climbing on the furniture?
He's going to run in and like do one of those like somersaults into the room.
Like the Willy Wonka where he spins.
He's going to like get up on like a case and be like this. And then so when people walk in, they're like talking and he's like, I knew it. And he jumps down like a cat. And he's like, I've heard every word you've said. And then like stumble away. Like, you know what I'm saying? His whole personality would change, which would expose him. And then he'd walk in the room and be like, it'd be crazy if someone was a traitor in this room. You know what I mean? So you got to get him in just to like.
Family, I can't lie to you. I can't stand the man with every fiber of my being. But my God, am I glad he's on this season.
Oh, it's amazing.
He's just brought me so much entertainment.
He's fantastic.
So much entertainment. Okay, so Let's get to episode 7. Yeah. We start out in the turret and it's, you know, again, it's Rob versus Danielle versus Carolyn. And Danielle's like, I could care less who we choose. Rob has come right off of his win getting Wes eliminated. And he's not going to share with them who got his group shield, which is a wild move.
Well, he just was like, clearly the way you guys are.
I don't trust any of you and I'm not going to reveal who's gotten my shield.
Yeah, I don't know. That might have been his final blow. You know what I mean? But I do sympathize with him doing that because it's a little bit like, you guys, we can't even have a conversation.
You're not going to trust anyone.
So I can't trust you.
And so he's like, I need to get Derek out.
Yeah.
And Danielle is like, no, that's my friend. He's an ally to me in this house. When you think about it, Danielle, actually, they've removed all of her friends. Any ally that Danielle could have, the traitors have slowly killed all of them off.
But I kind of feel like neither Rob or, you know,
Carolyn
have allies either. So it's not I feel like if anything, Danielle has like the most allies, or at least she says she's best friends with everyone. That's kind of yo, can we chill out on the you're friends with everyone thing? Because she keeps going, I won't do that. I won't kill him. Okay. I want to kill them. It's
you're
a little bit like
Rob doesn't
like half the thing.
You're saying Rob doesn't have allies. He's made the entire house his cult.
That was a little bit later. I feel like
he has disciples.
Yeah, but everyone's just afraid of him, but no one's like friends with him.
Or turned on by him.
That's what I mean. It's either turned. Dylan was the only one that was like his friend. Everyone else was just kind of low key, like in a sex cult with him. And that became more the case this episode.
Well, I think all of America joined a sex cult with Rob during this episode. And we'll talk about why later. But they end up, you know, they're talking Derek. Next day at breakfast, I did want to make one quick note.
Yeah.
Brittany says Iva is like furniture and he's pointless there. And at one point, Gabby comes in and she starts talking about Iva and he's like, I'm right here. And she's like, oh
my God, that's got to be the most insulting. I think if I was on this show and someone said, I hate Evan, he's annoying, I could handle that. If someone said, I forgot he's even here, that's the biggest insult anyone could ever have.
Is
like, he's worse than furniture is like.
Also,
if you want to hurt me, that's
I need more Gabby.
I know.
Give me more Gabby. Gabby
She's
is which by the way, I showed Evan the other day Gabby's like TikTok. And
oh,
Evan was
I'm obsessed.
Dying. He's obsessed.
I'm obsessed.
She's an icon.
Dude, well, she's like, I can,
her nails.
You never know if she's being serious. I think that's what's so interesting about her is that she's super intelligent. And at the same time, like, she's constantly like playing in these like things. And so you're always just wondering, like, is she, right when you think that she's like has no idea what's going on in the world, she'll do like a dissertation on like emotional intelligence. And you're like, God, every time I think I get her or she's playing this kind of like person, you realize she's not. And she's incredible.
She's the Jennifer Coolidge of Bachelor Nation. And I mean that as in the highest respect.
Yes.
That's
she's
the highest
just
compliment
like constantly
I can give.
Like lulling you into thinking she has no clue what's going on.
And then you're like, oh, wait.
And then you're like, holy shit, she's
one.
Super smart. Yeah.
She is so funny.
Amazing.
Okay. But we end up finding out that Derek is the one who they offed, that the traitors killed Derek. Danielle is crying, and it's a lot. I'm like, at this point, I get that Derek is her friend, but like I think Sierra said later, she was like, Danielle, he didn't literally die.
Yeah, he's just gone.
Like, why are you crying so hard?
Yeah, Danielle, and I get it, she's selling it, but it's a little bit like, you offed Bob the drag queen right away, and apparently he was your best friend.
I'm
you know
curious.
What I mean? Everyone's her best friend. Everyone, she betrays everyone. It's a little bit just like, what is happening?
I'm really curious if the tears for Derek were like genuine, where she felt, because I know she felt really bad and she was talking about it, or if it was a stage, a show for the
here's
the
why
players.
She's a mystery to me.
Yeah.
It's because everyone tells the truth in ITMs. And then lies on the show, right? So everyone does a thing, and then ITMs goes, you know, well, I had to play the game. Or, oh, you know, she'll be like, I trust you, Danielle. And then, you know, Carolyn will be like, I do not trust Danielle.
Right.
But then Danielle will do this thing where, like, she'll literally cry for people and then be like, yeah, he was my best friend. And I'm going, like, this is so confusing. And then the next thing she's going, like, you know, Bob was my best friend and I betrayed him. It's really confusing.
Yeah, you're wondering
I can
if
never
she's being
read
honest
what's
in the
happening
ITMs.
With her.
Because even in the ITMs later where she's like, I'm going to take Carolyn to the finals and we're going to split the money. And I'm like, do I believe? And she's saying that in ITMs
exactly.
That she wants to split the money, but I don't know if I believe that she's going to split
I
the money.
I do not believe anything she says.
Yeah.
100%. And it's like the fact that she doesn't tell the quote truth in ITMs is like very confusing.
Well, we don't know if she does.
That's
or
what
not.
I'm saying. That's I don't. Key. You don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, of course, Rob does exactly what Derek says he will do.
Yeah.
And right away leans into Dylan and is like, obviously the traitors are trying to make me look guilty yes. because Derek came for me. So they're going to get rid of Derek, make it look like I'm one of the traitors. Yes. Which, again, Derek said exactly that that's what he was going to do.
Yeah.
Rob and Dylan have this conversation where Dylan then tells him, like, hey, just FYI, Derek did mention you mm-hmm. and that you were going to, that if he's gone tomorrow, that he suspects that it's you or Brittany.
Yes.
So now Dylan's focus, Dylan never wavers from Rob. Dylan is a loyal lover. He never wavers. Him and Rob have united love and forces and all these things, Dylan's so smart, but he cannot see past the blinders that Rob has put on him.
He's a true amazing, you know how every cult needs like a right-hand man?
Yeah, he'd be a great right-hand
amazing
man.
Amazing right-hand man. Yeah. You know the guy that does all the dirty work so that the leader can look clean? You know what I mean? The guy who does all the crime
yeah.
so that the leader can walk into the, you know, the children's school and be like, God bless you. Here's my donation. And yes, everyone's like, oh, yes, my God, he's amazing. He's the guy. Dylan's your guy. Dylan's your guy that you need in the trenches.
And Dylan, I genuinely kind of felt heartbroken for him because he really, I think, really loved Rob deeply.
He even said, the wool was pulled over my eyes. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Dylan's a sweetheart.
He is a sweet guy. He's a sweetheart.
I can't imagine the amount of DMs he's getting from this show.
I'm sure he's doing very well.
I'm sure Dylan's doing DM department. We'll put it that way.
I feel bad for him there.
But someone who is not convinced of Rob is Tom Sandoval. This is where the journey begins. And he's doing so many of these eyes to the camera. And he's just like, he walks in on Rob and Dylan. And he's like, can I be part of the conversation? And basically tells Rob, Tom says to Rob's face, he's like, I don't know. The evidence is stacked against you.
Yeah, when them three are sitting down.
When they're sitting together. And Rob's a little bit like, you know, I'm going to prove to you otherwise. I know it's somebody else. Rob exits. And the veracity and intensity with which Tom like grabs to the collar of Dylan's shirt and pulls him in and he goes, listen to me, man, this is about life and death, man. Listen to me now. He literally had like sweat dripping from his head. He's like, you better fucking listen to me. He's betraying you. I mean, it was so intense. He's like, look at me, man. Look me in the eyes and know he's lying. I mean, I have never seen.
What is providing all this energy? I mean, everyone else is just like chill. And he's just like, and it's like, what is happening?
Say innocently an espresso IV.
Yeah,
or like
it's just an espresso martinis. Unbelievable, man.
So he's going into the mission and Tom is like,
yeah,
something is amiss and it's Rob. And now this is Tom's goal to announce to the rest of the house that Rob is a traitor. Now, lucky for Tom, his dial has landed on Rob and people were already feeling suspicious of Rob because the last round table was Rob versus Wes. And there was quite a bit of evidence against Rob. Yeah. So, and now Derek's gone.
Yep.
So, you know, he just happened to, on his list, his Rolodex landed on Rob.
Yes.
And now actually people are starting to
listen.
Perfect
timing.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. The other person who kind of is starting to have suspicions too is Sierra.
Yes.
And Sierra's feeling suspicious about Danielle.
Yes.
Now, I'm hopping into episode 8 with this, but that continues for Sierra from episode 7 into episode 8, yes. where Sierra brings up, why is no one talking about the fact that Jeremy was saying to numerous of us that Danielle is a traitor and then he gets offed. And
right.
we haven't talked about that.
Right.
And Sierra starts to, and I know, again, skipping ahead, we end up losing her and they don't believe her. But Sierra's starting to play this game. Things are starting to like come together.
We have new players.
We do have new players.
It's Sam.
Sam and Sierra.
Sierra and Tom.
Well, Tom's just
But let's be real. Let's be real. Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
The three people that kind of contributed almost like Tom was contributing entertainment because he was so off the rails, but he never once contributed strategy or any sort of threat. Same with Sam. Sam said like three words. It's just a hot guy in the corner the whole time.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden he's like pitching all this stuff, whether he's, you know, obviously he wasn't right. But I'm just saying like he kind of came out of nowhere and all of a sudden he's like, I'm, you know, and then Sierra's like got all the strategy and it's like biting back or whatever. So I do feel like they kind of almost needed a couple people to get out of the way to kind of show their true colors.
No, for sure. And Sierra's the one who's got it right.
Right.
By the way, she's the one who's got it right. And Sam, we'll get into it later, but Sam really surprising me. Out of nowhere, kind of shocking.
Well, he had like one amazing concept and then one bad concept. So it was a little bit like...
but at the same time, his bad concept did make sense.
It did make sense.
It was like an elimination, like, hey, we're all always going to be wondering.
Sure, sure. But the one thing I will say about Sierra real quick is like, I didn't get the evidence against her. It's like, okay, so she told the... when she was in the coffin, she said, fuck you to the traitors. And that made her look guilty. I don't know. Like that to me was like, that's the thing.
I understand. You know what I mean? I think it was more like, hey, we have to eliminate her because we're suspecting the traitors put one person in there.
So
and
it's like,
two of the others have been eliminated and they're both faithful. So we'll always wonder if Sierra is a faithful
it's just a
or a traitor.
It's a thin reason to get like all, but you know, well, that's all you need, I guess, at this point.
Okay. But then we have the mission. Yes. But before we... talk about one of my favorite missions that has ever
honestly,
missioned.
Honestly, if I'm being honest, some of these missions kind of like aren't
they're
that
bland.
Great.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Sometimes they get real just like, you know, you're trying too hard to make it like artistic and cool. And so sometimes I'm a little bit like,
I'm like, whatever, about,
whatever about these missions. This mission and then the following next episode's missions, the two best missions I've ever seen.
Obsessed.
The two best missions I've ever seen.
Obsessed. So let's talk about that mission. But first, we got to take another quick pause. Family, I was so stressed out during the Rob roundtable because TBH, I really didn't want to lose him.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, I didn't. That I got the runs. Sorry. But I was running to the bathroom needing to take care of the business. And the business in our bathroom always leaves me feeling clean as a whistle, fresh as a daisy, because we use our Tushy bidet. Tushy is the modern bidet attachment that instantly transforms your bathroom habits and butt health for life. Instead of wiping yourself raw with toilet paper, Tushy gently removes 99% of bacteria while protecting your natural skin barrier thanks to one natural ingredient. Fresh water, people. Okay, that stream, it cleans, it's fantastic. And wow, there is no clean like a Tushy bidet clean. And we recently got the new Tushy Wave bidet and we're obsessed.
I don't think I have words for how clean I feel post Tushy use because it's like, if honestly, if I could put it in my backpack and attach it to every toilet I ever use, I would. And yes, Tushy has two new ultra sleek bidet seats, Wave and Oasis, with front and rear wash to clean all those hard to reach places. We're talking a full, thorough cleaning. Mm-hmm. The Tushy Wave and Oasis bidets easily attach to your existing toilet without the need for additional plumbing or electricity. And they actually have a quick release button to remove the seat for instant deep cleaning. And by the way, with all Tushy bidets, installation is simple. Anyone can do it. Only takes about 10 minutes to complete.
The Tushy bidet gives you 2-in-1 benefits, reducing irritation and preventing micro tears with soothing water instead of scratchy toilet paper or damaging wet wipes. And speaking of, people who have made the switch to Tushy use up to 80% less toilet paper. That's a win-win, okay?
Big
and
time.
Every Hello Tushy bidet comes with a 30-day hassle-free return and a 12-month warranty, but I'm telling you, it'll change your butt life for life, okay? You're going to love it. There's still time to get your ass right for life. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off their first bidet order when you use code MOMDAD at checkout. That's 10% off your first bidet order at HelloTushy.com with promo code MOMDAD. Okay, so on to one of my favorite missions. This is the wedding hand-holding mission. Fear Factor combined with, I mean, Vogue, because Alan comes out in that wedding dress.
Gabby's like, he's our bride.
He's our bride. And then all the other players are looking fabulous.
10 out of 10.
Danielle's outfit was high fashion beyond. Ember was watching it with me, and she just, it was so funny. She's dead silent. Alan whips the veil off. They show the full line of the players, and she just goes, slay. She's like, it is so
Tom
slay.
Tom had a like mesh, like lace
shirt. A lace
shirt
with a top hat. I wish he would have had a monocle. The monocle would have completed it for me with the top hat. Unbelievable. So they find out that they have to choose pairs. So they have broken up into pairs already. And then each pair is going to go head to head with another pair. And the pairs are Ivar and Sam, Brittany and Danielle, Rob and Sierra, Chriselle and Dolores, Gabby and Carolyn, and Tom and Dylan. Another thing your daughter said, as soon as Tom and Dylan were walking down the aisle together, Ember goes, "Wait, are they getting married for real? Oh no, poor Dylan."
Oh, that's funny.
Because she can't stand Tom.
Oh, that's too good. She looked at
for a second, thought they were making them get married, and she goes, "Oh no, poor Dylan."
Too good.
I was like,
too good. True.
So yes, they're gonna have to go head to head, and Alan tells them they have to hold hands in this box for 8 minutes, and the couple that holds their hands the longest ends up winning, you know, getting money in the pot. And then finally the people who win are the ones who ends up getting the shields.
Where they win the ring part. Yeah.
Yes. Or if you stay in longer than the other person,
couple but you're enough competing people against. Stayed in. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So then the additive comes in that they will be dumping different creatures on them.
Yes.
So first round, we get millipedes.
Like thick ones too.
Giant millipedes put on you. And then a type of scorpion. And then they dump crickets and mealworms and things all over their heads. And then they put the snake, and it is chaos.
For you, was there any kind of like...
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, anything that would have broken you, or are you all right?
Okay, I would be totally fine with a snake. I like snakes. So I'd be like, great, love it.
Yeah.
Crickets, mealworms, whatever, that's fine. I think I could have handled the scorpion. It's the millipede.
Millipede, interesting.
Feeling a million legs is not for me. Those things scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
So the first one would have been the hardest for me.
Yeah.
And clearly, I mean, it was the hardest for Chriselle, because Chriselle and Dolores are coupled up. And when I say... before the creature even reached Chriselle's hand, she let go of the hand. Alan's like, Chriselle was in there for 15 seconds.
Literally.
their pair lasted for 15 seconds.
The person bringing the millipedes opened the box, and that she just immediately ejected.
Now, someone who had a very different reaction was Sam, who very much enjoyed...
loved it.
He was like, oh my God, they're so cute.
This is what Sam and Dylan were both just like, this is fantastic.
Dylan's
these are
like,
great.
This is what I do. Uh-huh. Dylan was having the hardest time not laughing because Sandoval was
struggling.
About to explode. And
struggling.
When all the crickets and mealworms were dumped on top of them,
it was in
Dylan,
his hat.
It was really? In his top hat. And Dylan was like, I can't handle
it. Yeah, it was like in his lining of his hat, like a farm.
And also, too, you know, Sandoval, he's so vain. He's not even freaked out about the bugs. You know, he's probably
like,
just worried. Yeah, it's bad for his skin.
Yeah, the dirt, my pores is going to be a nightmare.
He's like, if we would have used snails, at least it would have been like snail mucus. That's good for my skin.
Yes.
But I mean, I don't think that the scorpions or mealworms are doing anything for my complexion.
Beef tallow in here. For me, it was the scorpions. Like, I would have been okay with everything. I would have survived. But the scorpions... anything like spindly is my number one freak out.
That scorpion served Harry Potter.
It looked fake.
That scorpion,
those things, like, what the hell
looked
are
like
those
something
things?
From Harry Potter that's not real.
It looks like it was a person that, like, you know, like a demon that went inside of an animal.
Yes.
It didn't look real. Oh yeah, I don't like the spindly, creepily. Like, there was something actually kind of cute about the millipedes to me. They're kind of like these chunky, kind of like thick worm things.
Not for me.
But man, those spindly, spidery.
Now, everyone minus Chriselle and Dolores, everyone does.
Yeah, they hold on
fairly well. But I would like to say, that to me.
Oh God, here we go. The Daily. It was serving my books. Brought to you by Jessica.
The star of the show for me was our cult leader, Daddy Rob, who had Sierra as a partner. And the second it started, when he was holding onto her hand, he was like, close your eyes if you need to, or look at me, talk to me. And as he's holding her hand, he's like, okay, tell me, where are we going to go to dinner later? What's your favorite restaurant? When's your birthday? Oh, mine's. And was talking to her and being like, breathe. Don't look if you don't need want to look, Sierra. tell me, where are we going to go to dinner?
Yeah.
When we get to New York. And that was serving my books.
He took care of her. He took care of her. The hero
who was just like, but also like, let her be strong. Like, mm-hmm. you got this.
Right.
But I'm going to talk you through this mm-hmm. extremely terrifying situation and ask you questions. And it was serving daddy so hard. Yeah. And it was serving the cult leader. And I was like, I get it, everybody. And I've always gotten it. Let's be real. Yeah. But I get it. Mm-hmm. And this cue all of the fan edits of Boston Rob when he was young on Survivor and like the sexy mm-hmm. music, because everyone's discovering him when he was young and how he was, you know, oh so fine.
Yes. Yes. No, definitely the heart throb.
Oh, heart throb.
I mean, it's like a triple entendre.
That's
there.
Fantastic.
Things are throbbing. Name's Rob. He's a hard throb.
Not things are throbbing.
Things throb.
By
they
the way,
call him Throb. I mean, that's like the best. That'd be amazing.
Makes me feel kind of sick.
Boston Throb.
Oh my god. But Gabby, by the way, was making me laugh so hard when she was like, "You'll be hearing from my lawyers."
Yeah, she makes Alan laugh a lot.
I've noticed that yeah. of all the players, obviously Alan's laughing the entire time at Tom because he's yeah. laughing at
right,
Tom.
Right.
But I feel like we constantly see
her
clips
say something, him laugh
of
yeah.
Alan cracking up at
I
Gabby,
agree.
Which we love to see. So, oh, also just a quick side note,
yeah.
Iva at one point mm-hmm. goes, the bugs are getting dumped all over them. And Iva in ITMs is like, yes, I've been to numerous royal weddings. I was actually at Diana's yeah. wedding, but it wasn't quite as spooky. And he laughs. And it was creepy as shit. I just wanted to put that out there.
There's something creepy about those royals.
I'm like, Iva needs to go. Okay.
Royals
I know we've,
have
I know he's,
darkness about
I know
them.
We've, he's furniture and we've forgotten about him, but he scares me.
He's
okay.
Creepy,
and
man.
Even later on in episode 8, during the round table once again, he's like, we know it's a girl. And I'm like, the only time you'd ever speak, Iva, is to insult women. It's the only time you ever speak is to insult
yes,
a woman. And I've
insane.
Taken note. Okay, you offer tea and then insult the women. But yeah, like I said, everyone did really well.
Yeah.
If I would have been on this show, I would have done the best if I was on Boston Rob's team, because
yeah,
I would have wanted
it.
But I also would have wanted to make Boston Rob proud.
Yes, I understand.
I feel like I need to make him yes. proud. I feel like you'd feel the same way too. If you were with Rob, you're like, I gotta make Rob proud.
Sure.
I can't fail this.
I get it.
But Rob and Sierra end up getting the shields, and Iva and Sam and Danielle and Britt. Those are our crew that gets the shields because of the eliminations and also finding those rings in the final piece of the box. And at risk are Chriselle, Dolores, Gabby, Carolyn, Tom, and Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
So after the mission, obviously Tom begins his anti-Rob.
Yep. And it's funny because he keeps talking to Dylan about it. And it's like, that's just not the guy you want to talk. Talk to anybody else about it. But Dylan's not, you're not going to convince him.
I think Tom wants to be best friends with Dylan.
I think so too. I think
also to the Zac Efron connection.
Sure.
And Tom wants to be an actor.
Sure.
It's like, maybe your brother can get
me. Does your brother need a band to play his birthday? I'm musically inclined.
And he's kind of transformed vocally to you into a Joker slash.
Yeah, there's
Sandal.
A little bit of a, what am I doing there? I'm doing.
You're doing Joker a little bit.
Yeah, but the old Joker.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson.
I was doing a Jack Nicholson thing. Hey, dude. There it is. Okay.
You want to play? I can't do Jack. You want to play a little game?
I think it's Rob. I think it's Rob, dude.
But yeah, so Tom's getting this crew together and is like, I don't trust Rob.
Yeah.
He's a traitor. Da, 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 da. Rob is simultaneously sitting down with the women.
Yeah.
Because Rob's got the girls.
He
okay.
knows.
Rob's
he
got
knows his audience.
Rob's got the ladies. And he's like, why would I kill Derek? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Brittany doesn't speak up.
Yeah.
She's never vocal at the round table. She's a big player. Why are we not talking about the fact that she's been so quiet through this thing? Then Derek also mentioned her name.
Yeah.
So Rob's now trying to get other people
and
on
board.
It
seemed like he was convincing them.
Well, it did. And also, too, he then pulls Carolyn and is like, I swear to you, I will protect you. And by the way, after he gets eliminated, we hear in ITMs that he's like, I would have taken Carolyn to the end.
Yeah.
he thinks Danielle's a bad traitor. He goes, I don't think her game's good at all. But he's like, I would have taken Carolyn to the end. And that was a little bit of a tragic moment.
Oh, just tragic that like they didn't get to. Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? You were like, oh, Carolyn, I guess maybe you could have trusted.
I agreed. I think Carolyn had shown nothing but like general support for him and for the traitors until she started getting betrayed. And then she's like, this whole thing's shit, you know?
True. He tries to talk to Danielle.
Danielle
obviously
definitely poisoned the well for sure.
Well, no, Rob poisoned the well because Rob went for Bob.
Rob poisoned
Bob
the well originally.
And Danielle were besties.
But he had good, like, at least he had a reason. Where Danielle didn't really have a reason. Danielle originally just, like, went for him immediately. And it was like, what are you doing?
Most of Rob's reason was because he has to be the top dog. And Bob dared potentially say his name. And it's interesting, too, that Rob was willing to off Derek. Which was a bad move, probably.
Probably. It was a risky move.
It was a risky move. But he literally said in the tour, he goes, Danielle, you gotta give it to me. He said something against me. He's gotta go. I'm like, he's a full mob boss.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
If anyone says anything against Rob.
You say against the family.
You're gonna get cut.
You're gonna get dropped.
So then Brittany's feeling the shift, by the way.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm walking into rooms. Defensive. Everyone all of a sudden is not speaking to me. 100%. They're coming for me. So when we get to the round table, might as well be called the Rob table.
Exactly.
When we get to the round table, I was thinking, I'm like, if Rob makes it through this round table, he will be gone. He has to know he will be gone next week.
Well, then we've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, but yeah.
But at this point, it's like three people. He had to have this. He had to know this was going to be his final Hail Mary and next week he would get eliminated.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Well, I just think this is the classic, like, Rob went too hard too often. You know what I mean? Like, he should have taken out Bob the drag queen. And then maybe, like,
literally, how dare you? No, he should have kept Bob
no,
in. But
no. I'm saying, I mean, more like, let's say that already happened.
Yeah.
Like, after that, he should have just chilled. Like, he should have given it a couple weeks of chilling. But him every week being the one that was like, everyone listen up, here's my whole pitch. It just made everyone go, it was a matter of time until everyone goes, well, everyone who, because Sam brought this up. Sam goes, everyone who disagrees with Rob gets killed the next day.
Yes, because so he's the mob boss.
But I'm just saying, like, he just built too much evidence and drew too much attention where it worked for a couple of weeks. But you have to know at some point you got to chill
Rob
out.
Rob is such an incredible master of games that he was able to figure this out for as many weeks as he did. But I do think that his ultimate downfall started with Bob.
Yes.
If he wouldn't have come for Bob, who knows how long it would have been until someone would have found a traitor. And I think if he wouldn't have come for Bob, they would have gone for Danielle first because Jeremy's thrown the name around.
Yes.
People were sus about Danielle for a minute and then it disappeared. I think Rob would have been able to hide in the curtains through until the very, very end if he wouldn't have come for Bob. Bob was too big of a fish to come for.
But then the second he kind of set it off, it was like every week it was Rob trying to convince people it wasn't him and him trying to kill someone
and
off. And it's
Bob,
like,
Bob, too, was out of the clouds. He called out somebody who no one suspected. And so then everyone was like, wow, all eyes on Rob because he masterfully magically discovered that Bob was, or figured out that Bob was a traitor. So then everyone was suspicious.
Yep. And then you got his traitors against
him. If he would have waited and tried to gather some evidence quietly for a week or two about Bob and then got other people to turn on him, that would have been a great way to do it. But it was too much. I think that was the ultimate downfall. But, you know, Dylan starts off the round table and he lets everybody know. He's like, hey, this is what Derek said. He either said Boston Rob. If he goes, it's either Boston Rob or it's Brittany. You know, I don't believe it's Rob.
Sure.
I will be the ultimate sacrifice for my love, Rob. I think that it's Brittany. And like you said, then Sam was like, hey, the evidence is stacking up against Rob. This is the first time we're hearing Sam, by the way, speaking at the round table. And he's like, you know, evidence is stacking up. But then a bunch of the ladies are like, Rob has already defended himself. Week after week, you make Rob defend himself and you're going to make him do it again. And I'm like, ladies, that's what this show. If someone remains suspicious and has never gotten cut.
Sierra was like a politician's wife being like, or like a pastor's wife. It was like, he did not take the money from the donations. He already told you this Rolls Royce was something he deserved. because the Lord has blessed him.
Was you know it Sierra I mean? Who was speaking
yeah,
up?
Yeah, at remember. Some point was just like, we need to stop looking at him. You know what I mean? I'm like, stop saying anything.
You know
like,
what? Sierra, after that game, I don't blame you. I would have defended yeah. Rob mind, body, and soul.
It was just really funny how she immediately game. after he like, you know, was like daddy Rob, she immediately was just like, don't look at my husband like that.
Well, and then that's when Tom comes in. And Tom yeah. comes in with his first bit of something that makes sense.
Yes,
where
yes.
Tom was just like, well, you know, maybe we got to think about the fact that a traitor is the reason why there's only been one traitor we've gotten out.
Yeah.
Because, and honestly, to Tom's credit, logical thinking. You guys have only gotten one traitor. Maybe it's a traitor who was right. the one who discovered him.
Right.
Because it's already week 7 and you guys have only gotten one out.
Yeah.
So, you know,
100%.
He brings in the logic. And then Dolores is just like, I don't want to take that away from Dylan. Dylan's the one who got Bob the Drag Queen right. out. And then Dylan's looking at her like, don't put eyes on me. And she's what? Like, no, I don't mean that Dylan's a traitor.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh. An absolute mess. And then Rob comes to defend himself with yeah. an argument that Brittany said was ridiculous later, but I found to be a very good argument. Let's talk about that argument, but we got to take another quick pause. Family, so obviously in the Traitor Castle, we have Alan's dog, Lala, a faithful, as Bob the Drag Queen once mm-hmm. called her, and we're obsessed with Lala, but we've got to have a castle cat, right? We need a castle cat. Mm. We love the kitties, and they deserve the castle, but wherever the kitties are indoors, we know two things. Number one, we love them. But number two, that kitty litter can really stink up the house. It's true. It stinks. So you got to make the switch to Pretty Litter. Pretty Litter is a game changer. Pretty Litter's non-clumping formula traps odor and moisture. It's ultra absorbent. It's incredible. My dad, the Cat King, swears by Pretty Litter. And I'm telling you, his house never smells. Never smells. Also, Pretty Litter is lightweight, low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month, which is beyond convenient.
It's so convenient. And since Pretty Litter ships free right to your door, you never run out. You don't have to have those huge kitty litter bags taking up space, and you don't have to go into the cold and lug those huge tubs from a store to your car and into your house. And on top of all that, Pretty Litter gives you peace of mind. It changes color to indicate early signs of potential illnesses in your cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more.
When it comes to cats, I trust whatever my dad, the Cat King, says, and he says he'll only ever use Pretty Litter for his cats. With the odor trapping, the low dust, so no kitty paw prints everywhere, the convenience of it, and the peace of mind, it's simply the best. Indoor cats and indoor humans agree Pretty Litter helps your house smell fresh and clean. Go to prettylitter.com/momdad to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/momdad to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. prettylitter.com/momdad. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Okay, back to the round table. Yes. So then Rob comes out. Like I said, Brittany later is like, ridiculous argument. I'm sorry. I got to hand it to Rob. He always comes up with a decent argument.
Yes.
And this one, in my opinion, considering he doesn't have a lot of evidence, was a very good argument.
Yes.
He said, listen, Derek and Wes both essentially figured out that they were faithfuls.
Yeah.
And that's why they turned on me. They didn't have any evidence otherwise. They just know I'm a good game player. And we just assume that when the three of us got dropped off in those cages, that one of us had to be a traitor. Mm-hmm. But why are we assuming this? They just figured out they were both faithfuls. And then so they assume that I'm a traitor. He's like, but I have to talk about the fact that why would I kill Derek? That's crazy.
Right.
I know that then everyone's going to assume it's me. He's like, that's yeah. crazy for me to kill Derek. I would never do that. And then he said, also, what we know is that the person who knew that Derek didn't have a shield so that he could be offed would be in his group. And in his group was Sam, Dolores, Britt, Chriselle, and him.
Yeah.
Right. So he's like, we got to look at the people who were in his group.
Right.
And then he says one of the more offensive things he's ever said. He's like, this is what I know. When I look at all of you, there's only one person who could pull this off. And that's Brittany. guys just fully insulted
everybody.
Sam and Chriselle and Dolores. And it was just like, you guys wouldn't have been able to know what idiots. To do with this. She's and the only person who knows what she's doing is Britt. So we have to look at Britt.
Yes.
And then, of course, he talks about how she's been quiet and how she's not normally that way. And she's a game player and da da da. But eventually, when the votes come in, there were only a few random votes.
Yeah.
One of which was Chriselle for, and she voted Tom.
Yes.
And she's like, listen, I don't think either of them are traitors. And essentially, I don't like you, so I'm voting for Tom.
100%.
And then Dolores voted for Tom, too.
Yeah.
They just want him to go.
They just want him out. They just They're want like, him he's gone. Too scary.
And then Dylan voted for Gabby again.
Yeah. And it was interesting. He just kind of said, like, it was like halfway between, like, Chriselle voted for Tom, right?
Right.
But she admitted, like, it's a throwaway vote. I'm just caught in between. I don't want to do anything. And I just hate you, Tom. So I'm going to throw this your way just for fun. Where Dylan was interesting because Dylan said, I don't think either of you are traitors.
Well, and
but
he's
we got to start looking somewhere else. Well, and but I'm kind of feeling
for Gabby before.
Right. So there's this kind of like
voted and he is super suspicious.
He's
of Gabby.
Just super suspicious of her. So it was just interesting. It was kind of just like, hey, guys, just let's put feelers out for next time. I think we should be aware of Gabby.
Which is an interesting thing that I want to talk about later when we talk about recruiting.
Yes. Because
the women were talking about recruiting and Gabby was one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
And I have yeah. thoughts about that because of Dylan. But Boston Rob.
Yeah.
He goes. We say goodbye. The reign of Boston Rob, where everyone worshipped and believed him.
It was bright, hot.
Burning
and burned out, and that was his downfall. Was his power was his downfall in the end? Too much attention. But my favorite thing about this whole thing and the way it ended was Tom standing up and opening his arms like worship
for the universe.
Me. No, he was like a worship.
No,
me.
He was like, oh, you're.
It was
not
like
entertained.
It was like he hit the goal with 0.01 seconds left.
Yes.
And he hadn't contributed anything all game, but like he swung, he got the goal, and then he just kind of opens his hands like, I am a god. I told you all, I am a god.
And
then no one really, like people were like, good job, but like he kind of went like this and everyone hugged each other and he kind of went around the room and no one hugged him. And then he gets in the ITMs and he goes, finally, people are going to start taking me seriously. It was iconic. I mean, it was amazing. Everything I want, he gave me. It was like the ego was through the fucking roof.
The insufferability begins.
Oh my God, it was amazing. And now what you get is just a guy won't stop talking about like your theories because he's like, listen, I'm right. I've proven you all.
But yeah, we said bye to Rob. He said, I am and always have been a traitor.
Yes.
What an icon. Goodbye, Rob. We shall miss you.
Yes.
I want him back for another season. I want more Rob.
I know.
So after the round table, we find out that the traitors this round are going to kill face to face. So the people who did not get a shield will be walking in and one of them will see the traitors face to face. And in the turret, you know, Danielle and Carolyn are celebrating. They're like, Rob's gone. Daddy's gone. So now we can play. And Danielle's trying to do like a, hey, let's be good now. Like, Rob's gone. The tension is gone. Let's take this home. Carolyn's like, oh, I'll take it day by day.
Right.
We'll see.
Trust you.
But they seem like they're getting along in this moment. In this moment, we're like, okay, we're coming together a little bit. Finally.
Or at least like, okay, now we're okay.
Yes.
Danielle really wants it to be okay. At least that's what she's preaching. And Carolyn's like, I'll never trust you for one second.
No. So then when they have the face-to-face murder, it's in a church, which is creepy as hell.
They've really done it. I mean, it's so theatrical. Because
so
when you think about
stunning.
It, there's no difference between killing face-to-face versus...
No.
Kill, you know what I mean? Like factually, there's no difference. But they really... That's the beautiful thing about this show, though, is that they really do the, like, theatrics. You know, they put her... After Chriselle was killed, they put her in a coffin and then, like, took her out being carried in a coffin. Like, it's so over the top.
It's so theatrical.
It's very funny.
And you know what? The Bachelor needs to take notes.
Yes.
Because the way that
Should they do that when they eliminate the girls? Put them in coffins? You know what I mean? They like nail them to a proverbial cross or something. You know what I mean? Do something so extravagant. You know what I mean? You know how they have like Catholic ceremonies? Like in, you see them in certain countries where they have like big Catholic processions and then there'll be someone on the cross like doing like a performance. It's like, holy shit. They need to take some notes. Put them on the cross. Like, oh, some heavy shit like that. like fake beheadings or something, you know, like town square.
I was more thinking about just the fact that the church was decorated. I'm like, you should do that for the dates, for the dinner portions. I wasn't thinking quite that extreme, but sure, you could try it.
That's sounds of theatrics.
There was like 10,000 candles, though. It was unbelievable. Yeah, it was beautiful. And, you know, Dolores is like, traitors, you better kill me because I'm coming for you.
That was like, Dolores, insane. Like, Dolores, like, you're Dolores, not anything like that.
You voted wrong every single time. Well, not only
that,
time.
But like Dolores, it doesn't do that. Dolores no, is just like, yeah, I'm having a good time. And all of a sudden she's just like, who was it last season that was so dramatic? It was Phaedra. Yeah, she's doing a Phaedra thing where she's just like, and then Danielle did a little Phaedra moment too when she handed Chriselle. Oh. She goes, it is done. And Carolyn can't do that. Carolyn just goes, oh, sorry. I was just like, oh, we're going to miss you.
I don't know. I'm really sorry. Yeah, but we had to get rid of somebody, Chriselle. I mean, you seem like a nice enough girl, but like, we had to get rid of Danielle's someone. Like,
it is finished. And then, you know, and then what's her name was just like, you better kill me now. Because I'm coming for you.
And let us not forget Sandoval.
It's like, no, you're not coming for anyone. You have not played one moment of this game correctly.
Let us not forget Sandoval, who essentially walks up to the sky and is just like, I came here to prove my self-worth, that I'm worth something to these people and to myself. And after tonight, if you kill me, I die a happy man. And he shouts,
I've proven myself likable again. Everyone loves me again.
It was so dramatic.
So funny.
But no, what you were saying too, when they end up getting rid of Chriselle, it was so over the top. I thought that they were going to have like a moment where Chriselle was like, oh my God, I can't believe it's you guys. And they were like, yeah, sorry. Not even words exchanged between them. Sucks.
And they're like, it is finished.
Now, Chriselle, by the way, is not surprised that it's Danielle.
Yeah, but was surprised it was Carolyn.
Was surprised it's Carolyn. I think that's an interesting thing to note, that in the house,
no one's ever really suspected of Danielle. Oh, yes.
And I know we've all talked about how Carolyn is absolutely like wacky when
she doesn't give traitor.
When she's stumbling into the room and is like, oh, I don't know what just happened. She doesn't give traitor. She doesn't give traitor.
Danielle's constantly crying and then constantly like desperately trying to get people to like say, believe me, it's Carolyn, you know, and then voting against Rob. I don't know. I just will say it's kind of like she's constantly suspicious. There's constantly two or three people that are like, might be Danielle. No one's ever been like Carolyn sus. So
she Carolyn might make and it Tom to the might end. Be the end. Yeah. It's Carolyn versus Tom.
Yeah.
Hey man, are you a traitor man? Like, I don't know. Do you think I'm a traitor man? Like,
hey bro. I mean, it's truly going to be the most unbelievable voicings. If they're to the very end, it'll be like, we might have to turn it off. All right.
So, by the way, the next day at breakfast, we don't know. We haven't found out who they've offed yet. So, you know, everyone's curious. But this is then when we have Sam.
Sam's shining moment of brilliance.
Sam's shining moment of brilliance. And we hear him in ITMs being like, hey, listen, you know, I don't think the traders are as smart as they think we are. I'm a listener. I take this in. I'm listening. Yes. I'm observing the entire time. Like, you might think I'm, you know, quiet and whatever, but I've been watching. Yeah. And I'm getting that energy from him where he's like kind of, this whole time I've been like, what is this guy fucking doing? And I'm like, has he been tuning in the whole time and waiting in the wings?
And it's interesting. His theory was really good where, you know, Tom comes in and he's basically describing what Alan was wearing.
And how cool his shoes
and
are.
How cool his shoes were. But then Sam's like, well, it doesn't make sense for the traitors to have seen his outfit because they wouldn't have been waiting and doing the whole thing that you did.
Yes.
They're just going to come in last minute. So they couldn't have really described what he looked like because there wouldn't have been all this one-on-one with Alan situation.
So he said, let's ask every person that comes in what Alan was wearing.
Exactly.
And then Danielle's sitting on the end and she goes, oh no. Yeah,
Danielle's like, fuck, right? Like this might be the actual time that live in game, someone gets completely exposed.
Yes. Because it's never happened before.
And Tom brilliantly saved Carolyn. By just looking, by answering the question. It was incredible. He was the person that spawned the idea for Sam. Sam then tells Tom, we need to do this together. He goes, sounds good. Then Carolyn walks in and goes, and Sam goes, what was Alan wearing? And Tom just goes, the black outfit. And he goes, what are you doing?
And by the way, not only that, Carolyn, the second they're asking how it was, they just even ask, How was it? She can't.
She's like, is it pretty?
She's like, I don't know. It was a little nerve wracking, I guess. And da da da. And then when they're, and Sierra goes, what was he wearing? And she cannot. She goes, so you're like, this is the moment. And then Tom's like, it was great. His shoes were awesome.
It was
man.
A whole black outfit. It was amazing. The hat looked great. And then Sam's like, what the fuck, dude?
Sam's going, Tom.
And then Gabby almost was interesting too, because Gabby then just goes like, well, you know, it wasn't a great grade, but it was a passing grade. I think we're good. We're good on her.
Because she loves Carolyn.
Right. And so there's buddies. Something interesting there where I was like, oh, they both kind of saved her.
Or Gabby is clocking.
Gabby's like, let's
Gabby's
wait on this.
Clocking what's going on and is like, Carolyn,
let's
clearly
not spook her.
She clearly couldn't describe it. Let's
that just, was that my I was like, holy shit, we might have her exposed live on air kind of thing, which we've never seen someone like legitimately exposed. And this might be the only chance they have. And it just Tom comes in with the whiff of a lifetime.
Sam truly almost cracked the code and Tom ruined.
but that made him even more innocent again. You know what I mean? That like it was perfect. It was a perfect accident.
It was absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
By the way, after they find out that Chrishell is gone, Tom's at dinner and he's like, or at breakfast, and he's like, well, you know, it's because Chrishell, like, she never put herself out. Then he's like,
yeah, he
coming
starts, like,
for,
on her.
For Chrishell, like, after she's already gone. And they're like, shut up,
they're
Tom.
Like, we know you hate her. He's like, no, it's just like, she sucks. Like, everyone knows she's the worst.
Now, I did want to make a note of something. They're asking every person who comes back in, what was Alan wearing? Maybe they did this and we didn't see it, but we didn't see them ask Dylan.
That's true.
So do they just assume wholeheartedly that Dylan's a faithful? Because if they are, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's like besties with Rob.
Or maybe it was one of those things that like now that too many people are in the room, they didn't want to make
but
it
we
that
never
whole
saw
thing.
It follow
they didn't,
up
they didn't
we didn't see later like yeah. Sam pull Dylan and say, hey, by the way, like, you know, we're kind of asking people. They just let Dylan slide.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think would make him, and I've said it before and we'll keep saying it, is that I think recruitment wise he would be a great recruitment as a traitor.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. Interesting. He is.
Now, I don't think he would be a great recruitment because I think the women, Danielle and Carolyn, would get found out before Dylan would, because now they're assuming that it's
Agreed.
A woman who's a traitor. But for the show, I think Dylan would pull off being like, I think, one of the best traitors.
I think
because
off,
everybody
but,
trusts him.
But I do think he's louder. He talks, you know,
he's
not loud, but he's like,
he's a leader in the house.
He's a leader
I guess.
In the house. And that's always kind of a scary, you know, people start looking at the leaders.
Well, after breakfast, you know, they're all trying to put together ideas. People are struggling. They're like, we don't know who to look at now.
Well, because now it's like you got rid of the obvious.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So you're a little bit like, now everyone's kind of on the same page.
So now all these questions are getting floated around. Tom is literally asking a stag statue for answers. I mean, he has now lost the plot.
Yeah,
like he's officially lost the plot. He feels like he absolutely crushed the reckoning of Rob. And now he's like speaking to a statue because he's like, this is going to be funny.
Yeah.
And I want them to get this on camera. Yes. And we're like, Tom, we still don't like you.
Yes.
You just are figuring this out.
But I hope he lasts the whole time just for the TV element.
But some of the rumors that are getting or some of the theories that are getting floated is that Tom and a few people, including Carolyn, are speaking. And Tom does have a little bit of a moment, again, to his credit, where he's like, so he's holding a teacup, by the way, too. He's got his legs crossed. Yeah. He's like, so, because now he's Sherlock at the house. He's like, so what happened with Danielle the other day?
Yes.
And I'm like,
so he brought up the Danielle Carolyn drama.
And I'm like, is Tom like, about to figure out
two,
Danielle?
Bro.
And it never followed through.
But his nose is working.
I think next week he'll forget about it already. It seems there's a new person every week. He doesn't stick with one idea. I think he'll forget about this whole theory that he's started to cook already, because I think he forgot about it already by the end of the evening.
And I thought Carolyn played it perfectly. She answered the question, but she didn't go after Danielle, because the second you start going after people, you start looking guilty. And so I thought she played it well. Like she said, I answered it honestly, but I didn't like overdo it.
Yep.
I thought that was smart.
And then we have Sam, who he's like, hey, I think that it's time for us to talk about the coffin theory again.
Yeah.
And also he noted that Sierra, who's going to be the final coffin person, is that she was the only one to vote against Brittany.
Yeah.
And I know that you said there's not great theories about her, but I do understand why they feel like he said, he's like, I think we should just explore it, because if we don't exhaust this, we're always going to wonder if it's Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that she was the only one to vote against Brittany is suspicious.
Yeah.
And Rob ended up being a traitor. It was like, something to think about. Simultaneously, Sierra is talking with Gabby and she's like, Britt and Danielle have this strong alliance.
Yeah.
They're all of a sudden two peas in a pod. What's going on? We need to look at both of them.
Yes.
And again, from last episode, she was like spinning about Danielle and she's like, I remember what Jeremy said.
Yes.
So we have a few people going in different directions, but not anyone feeling like hardcore about a specific direction.
Exactly. All the major game players that are threatening and scary are gone.
Yeah.
Wes, Derek, Rob, Bob. Like there was about five or six. Like everyone was like, holy shit, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's kind of like the sheep are all alone and the shepherds are gone and they're just like, ah, you know what I mean? Like, it's you, it's you. It's like, what is that rock? I don't know. You know, it's a little bit like the sheep are the only ones left
you're
and there's
right.
no one to kind of point at.
You're right. You're right. That then leads into the other best mission we've ever seen. Singing dolls, and we need to talk about this mission immediately. But first, we've got to take one more quick pause. Family, listen, the breakfast buffet at the Trader's Castle is great and everything, but what about real life? Okay, in my opinion, real life looks like wanting to eat healthier, but not knowing what to make or where to start. It looks like not having time to do grocery shopping. It looks like having a certain health restriction that's hard to stay on top of when making meals. It's a lot, but I'm telling you, family, all that stress melted away when we recently started using Hungry Root. It's the easiest way to eat healthy. I would compare Hungry Root to like having your own personal shopper and nutritionist all wrapped into one, meaning they take care of the weekly grocery shopping, recommending healthy groceries and meals tailored to your tastes, nutrition preferences, and more. Since we started using them, they've made it so easy to eat high quality, nutritious food. And for me personally, I've been focusing on needing to eat more of an anti-inflammatory diet for some of my health issues, and they've focused on that for me, which has been such a gift. Also, if you're looking for focuses like gut-friendly, gluten-free, dairy-free, high protein, and more, they've got you. When you go online and sign up, I was just so wowed by how thorough they are to make sure you're taken care of exactly the way you're looking for. It's truly incredible.
Yeah, it's true. Shopping, planning, and cooking food really can be simple and stress-free with Hungry Root. Just tell them about your goals and preferences, and they fill your cart with personalized recommendations. They get smarter as they learned more about what you liked or didn't love, and it's top quality stuff. There's no high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweeteners, or preservatives in any of Hungry Root's food. They only source top quality meat and seafood free of hormones and antibiotics.
And time-wise, they've got you covered. All of Hungry Root's recipes can be made in just 15 minutes or less. It's also so delicious. With over 15,000 recipes shipped each week, there's something for every taste and nutrition preference. They also have healthy groceries like smoothies, kids' snacks, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, salad kits, and even supplements. Ember loves the stuff that we've been getting from Hungry Root. We can fill our lunch with it, easy snacks. It's amazing. You're going to love Hungry Root as much as we do. Take advantage of this exclusive offer. For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life. Okay, go to hungryroot.com/momdad and use code momdad. That's hungryroot.com/momdad, code momdad, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life. hungryroot.com/momdad, code momdad. Okay, let's talk this dollhouse, this singing doll mission. So we find out that the players are going to be split into two teams. A group is going with Alan to the secret cabin, and another is staying at the castle. Also, the only team that can that will possibly get a shield are the ones who go to the cabin.
Yeah.
So they play rock, paper, scissors to decide who gets to go. Danielle's like, I need to get to the cabin because I want to see who gets the shield, and I don't want Carolyn to know. So she already is saying, she's like, we're gonna work together, but she's still playing games where she's like, I don't want Carolyn to know who has the shield.
Gosh, I know.
Like, dang, we've got layers going on. But they find out that there's going to be these dolls there.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bunch. They have to find the right dolls who are singing these nursery rhymes backwards. A player has to call, sing it to the people at the castle, and then they have to sing it into another, like, you know, whatever, what are those? A phonograph.
Yeah, that goes reverse.
And then hear it back to see if they can figure out what the nursery rhyme is. So once they get to the cabin.
Yeah.
And Sandoval is one of the people who is at the cabin crew. These dolls, first of all, water shooting everywhere. Yeah. They have like booby traps set up.
The water, I didn't understand. I'm like, what does evil dolls and water cannons have to do with each other?
There was like 500 dolls in this cabin.
I just didn't understand. The water was like, just like water guns and booby trap. Like, it was just the strangest. I think
it was just supposed to like scare them.
Sure. It's like, it was a lot of water too. Like, it wasn't like little.
No, they're getting like shot in the face with water. And they are struggling to even find one of the dolls.
Right.
They know that one of the dolls, by the way, is going to have a clue to where the shield is. Sierra hears right away that it's a bear. So she's got her eyeballs on looking for a bear. But they, the first 15 minutes, they have 30 minutes. The first 15 minutes, they can't find one doll.
Right, which is nuts.
Sandoval is losing his mind. Sandoval is on a mission that, like, I've never seen him before. And we know how intense he gets during these missions. But like he says in ITMs, he's the only one in the castle
who's musically inclined.
Who's musically inclined.
Hey, so just because you do it doesn't mean you're inclined to it. Okay.
Oh, I like that.
That is the rhyme he needs to learn. Just because you do something doesn't mean you're good at it. Okay. My daughter likes to kick a ball in the backyard sometimes. She's incredible at theater, incredible singer. Athletics, not her thing. Okay. Tom, you're my daughter with kicking a ball, but music. But I will say this, he can carry a tune at least. So like, who knows if he wasn't there, like if people couldn't carry, because you could hear it, a couple people, they would try to repeat it.
Yeah.
It'd be like, it's actually blah, da, 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 da. And like, they were like, not even
way
close.
Way off the pitch.
So, you know, there is a level of like, we are grateful for Tom and his musical inclination here.
But Tom was using it as a straight up gig because
it was a gig.
It was a gig for him. He's going to ask if he got paid later for this specific gig.
Songwriting credits.
Yeah. On these nursery rhymes, backwards nursery rhymes, because
he's just outside going, yes, what? Yeah. And he's like rehearsing it, working on it, and then running
over.
But
not only that, he was putting like a vibe on his voice.
It would be like, yash, 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 na, na, na. And he'd be like, yash, 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 na, na, na. Yash, 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 na, na, na. And they're like,
like it changes. Okay.
He's like, you have a phone I could record that from my band later? And so he's doing this, and what I found to be incredible was the other team's ability to identify.
That's what I was going to say.
Because it would like reverse and be like, huh, yeah, what a dot, yeah. And they'd be like,
Mary had a little lamb.
And I'm like, what?
No.
I didn't hear any of that. No,
the stars, the true stars of
Dylan
this challenge.
And them were incredible.
And Gabby crushed it.
Gabby and Dylan were incredible.
I don't know how they figured out, especially too, by the way, because Dylan, or because Sandoval was putting a stank on his voice, it made it even harder to hear what it might have even been, because he wasn't doing
it.
And you're like, you just made it way harder for us to decipher what this is. But somehow the true heroes of this mission were the people who figured out what the
there
hell
was not
Tom Sandoval
one time
sang.
They played one forwards and I was even remotely understanding what it was, and they got him. I was blown
away.
They
got every single one.
Everyone they played, I didn't get.
Me, same.
I was like,
I didn't
even
get
when they said
one.
It, I wasn't like, oh, I could see that.
No, I was like, I can't hear it at all.
I still don't hear it.
No, it was actually kind of incredible. Someone in that house, by the way, is musically inclined. I don't know if it's Dylan, if it's Gary. Somebody, because for them to be able to hear that was a true talent.
I'll be honest too, like, I don't really know any nursery rhymes. So there's like one I kind of knew, and the other ones was like three blind.
Yeah, you,
like,
you would have struggled with that. You know? But I think the part that made me laugh the hardest is the first time that
Sam goes.
He goes, he literally goes, oh, terrible singing.
Terrible singing. You know, that fucking killed Tom. Tom's like, of all the things I'm bad at, this is not one.
Especially too, because it's like Sam is associated with Britney Spears. Right?
Yes.
So there's the musical he's connection, like superstar musical connection. Sure. And he's the one who goes, oh, terrible singing.
So funny. Obsessed.
I like cried,
I
laughed.
I was dying.
That sequence of Tom panic running back and forth was what's going to win them the Emmy this season. Yes. That scene was going to win them the Emmy. And his face, when he would be back and forth singing, and he'd like look in the camera, holding the doll.
It's so good, too, because he wasn't laughing. It's like, how could you not laugh at doing that? Alan was dying.
Oh.
Alan was dying laughing.
I don't think we've ever seen Alan break.
Like break. He truly broke.
No, he broke. And you know what makes it 10 times better? Yeah. Is that Alan, he's hearing Tom being like, well, I'm the only one who can do this because I have an incredible vocal range. Right. Alan Cumming, Broadway star.
Oh, really? He can say, I didn't know that.
He's like a Broadway star.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So you're like, okay. Yeah,
so it's even funnier.
So it's like, you know, having someone who's been on Broadway and is like an icon to be behind him watching him attempt to do this.
It was so funny. And the time when he's like, Ivar, get over here. And then he's like, get on the phone with these guys. And he just sits there and he goes, and then Alan's like, what are you doing? And he goes, I don't know. And he's like, be your own man.
He goes, go back.
Be your own man. Make your own decisions.
Ivar just when
he gets to the phone and he looks at Alan and Alan goes, what are you doing? He goes, I don't know.
He's like,
I don't know why I'm on the phone right now. So
he didn't even know where he was.
No.
Ivar's
just along for the ride.
Whose cabin is this, perhaps? Oh, that sequence was so funny. But yeah, they end up getting all of them thanks to the team in the castle. And Sierra finds the shield in that bear.
Yeah.
So she's the only one that walks away with the shield. But then after the mission, you know, again, they're trying to come up with some something. Names. Sam is pushing the Sierra narrative. Mm-hmm. Gabby is falling more into like the Brit Danielle potential.
Yeah.
Sierra is then talking to Carolyn and is like, hey, I think it's Danielle Brit. I think more Danielle, the theatrics. She brings up Jeremy again. Carolyn does a good job of keeping it composed and just kind of hearing her out. And then we have Dylan talking to Dolores and he's like, hey, I think it's Britt. I trust Derek. Or Dylan isn't convinced, but he's like, the only person that I kind of can wrap my brain around is Britt because of Derek.
Yeah.
We hear his regret later with how he ended up voting.
Yeah.
So at the round table, by the way, Alan still has a doll head in his breast pocket and it made me laugh really hard. But at the round table, Sierra crushed this round table, by the way.
Yeah.
Because remember last time when her eyes were on her and she did not do well at the round table where she was like, trust me, I'm a nurse. I'd never lie.
That was
incredible.
It was
like, we're like, what are you saying? She crushed this round table.
Yeah.
So she says, hey, I'm just going to start this off by saying, you know, I know that all eyes are on me. And there were three faithfuls in those coffins.
Yeah.
And Ivar is like, it has to be a girl who's a traitor. Da, 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 da. And then Tom comes in and
these conniving, shifty women. You can't trust them. I believe me. I've been around them once.
You can never trust a woman.
One time, a woman snuck into a smoking room I was in with a bunch of men, and you could tell there was a conniving thief among us.
And it's like, it's just clearly this guy has no...
One woman dared speak to me once, and I knew that she was a fox and a liar.
Yeah, she was. One time she ate before I ate, and I was disgusted by it. I cast her out of my castle.
You could tell that guy never is around women. Is he married?
I think he's gay, actually.
Oh, is he? Okay, so he's definitely never around women. Yeah. So he's a gay guy.
Which
and
we love that he's gay.
Of course.
The first gay... Like, right. I think he's the first out royal,
right?
Which we love and we celebrate, but right. Ivar, the he's misogyny, my guy.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Jeez Louise.
Anything he ever says is just like, oh, women are the worst.
Yeah, you're
a
just
version
like,
of that.
God, the misogyny. God. Come now. But then Tom Sandoval, another Tom Sandoval historic moment is when he's agreeing with Iva and says, well, generally and historically, girls are better cheater than guys because of their social state or something.
One of the great missteps and misspokens this of
man
all time
said cheaters
as one of the great cheaters
as one of America's greatest cheaters,
one of the most iconic cheaters of the last decade,
famous iconic cheaters.
Goes, you know, women, they're the worst, they're the best cheaters. I mean, even though he misspoke, it was like the whole room erupted.
No, the room erupted.
Like, yeah, fuck it. Like everyone just lost their minds.
The room erupted like we've never seen. Everyone absolutely lost it.
Traitors.
And they're like, really, Tom? From you, Tom? And he's like, like, no, we all know that guys are better cheaters. I meant traitors.
Yeah, traitors. Like, it was just iconic.
Sam looked at him. He goes, you're digging a bigger grave.
Sam's like, shut up, bro. It's bad. So funny.
But yeah, that's when Sam was like, yeah, if we don't close the coffin, the proverbial coffin theory. He also was like throwing out puns.
Yeah, he kind of just like all of a sudden was just like,
I was like, this, wait, like, Sam's smart?
Smooth, like, what's happening?
What?
New saving it.
But then Sierra then brings Britt into the equation. And she's like, hey, I voted for Brittany because she lays low and she's a gamer. And Brittany's like saying, no, the traitors are more likely to be more out loud and boisterous. Like a faithful would be more likely to lay low, which, by the way, I think is a ridiculous argument. I think it's just traitor to traitor. We've seen some traitors lay so low and some traitors are, you know, vocal and out. Right. So I'm like, I don't not quite know what that means. But then Sierra brings up Jeremy and Danielle. So she's trying to float a bunch of different theories here. She's like, hey, somebody listen to me. Okay. And then Ivar comes in with the double misogyny katana and says, this is what we figured out. We know that Rob and Bob were traitors, and they are both very powerful men. And so we know that they persuaded you, you stupid weak woman, to get into the coffin. And I was like, how is this man real? He's literally saying, because we know Bob and Rob are traitors, of course Sierra, she's just a weak, silly woman. She would easily get persuaded to be put into the coffin. My jaw was on the floor.
Unbelievable.
My jaw was on the floor. And Sierra was like, are you out of your mind?
Right.
Like, you think one of those guys is going to be able to persuade me to get in the coffin? She's like, you've got to be kidding me. The new YSL dress. Please.
Right. Please.
But after then, Sierra also brings up Danielle.
Yeah.
Danielle, this is, I think, the very first time we've seen Danielle have to defend herself in the room. And I think she did a good job.
Yeah, the voting for Rob twice was like great. I mean, it really was. It's one of those things where Danielle was a bad player, but it's kind of like the Tom element a little bit, where it's like the mistakes that she survived made her look more innocent later.
Yes. And but I do think it was like she did a good job defending herself at the round table. She stayed really calm.
Yeah.
And was just like, I voted for Rob twice. And also, like, look at the people who have been murdered.
Yeah.
They're all my friends.
Right.
She was, all the people who I came in here who I got close to in the house, they all got eliminated. She's like, do you really think if I was a traitor, I would eliminate all my allies in the house? Like, that's ridiculous. That's
interesting.
Good argument.
Great argument.
She looked super clean, but Sierra's just in there going like, everyone's like, well, the way that you acted when you were in the coffin defending yourself made you look traitorous. And she's like, I put up a fucking fight. There's fight or flight, and I go into fight mode.
She goes into fight mode.
And then we hear
mode.
From the ITMs where she's like, hey, I was raised by like a really strong woman who, like, she was going to get what she wanted, and that's who I am. And she put up a good fight in this round table. She put up a good damn fight. But my God, every person voted for her.
Well, and I truly do believe that, like, maybe there was a couple people that thought it was her. I think it was just blood in the water. Classic blood in the water, where everyone 100%. Goes, okay, so it looks like everyone's kind of loving this. Let's just go in, well, get rid of her, and I won't be on the chopping
block. That's what we heard later from Dylan.
Right.
Dylan was tripping afterwards.
Yeah.
And he was feeling guilt.
Yeah.
Because he was like, this was the hardest round table after for me because I let people sway me.
Yeah.
And he hadn't in the past. He'd stuck with Gabby or who he believed.
Right.
And Dylan was struggling, which I feel like goes to show that Dylan just has...
I think he's a good guy. I agree.
Like, he was like, I let everyone sway me for the first time.
Because everyone else will just vote with the group because they don't want to be included. But he always kind of goes, you know what? No, I'm going to stand by what I think is right.
He's going to stand by what he thinks. And he didn't this time, and he was really disappointed. And so, yeah, when she ends up getting voted out, she was like, I'll always go down fighting. I'm a faithful. And it is dead silence at that round table. They're like, they really biffed this one, guys.
Yeah.
But after the round table, a few things of note happened. Number one, Tom lied and said that Sierra didn't have the shield. So he was talking to Carolyn, and I was like, a shockingly smart move from Tom Sandoval.
He's like, I don't want to give
Dude,
it away.
This guy, you, I can't. He is so all over the place. It's like he does the stupidest things ever. But then you know what, though? He's a good liar. That's why.
There it is.
The man knows how to lie. Yeah. So he was like, he looked dead in Carolyn's face and he goes, no, Sierra did not have the shield. It's still out there. So now Carolyn is like, okay.
Yeah.
Tom told me that, and he was on her team, that Sierra didn't have the shield. Somebody else does. And then we have Dylan, Sam, and Ivar who are talking in the secret room. And then Dylan hears that Danielle and Carolyn are talking outside and he pops out and is like, hey, ladies. And they panic because they're like, oh, God, Dylan, mm-hmm. our detective, has mm-hmm. seen us together. But then they act super like, what are you doing in there? That's really suspicious. And I think they went too hard. They were too intense about like, that was really suspicious. That was really suspicious. Because then Dylan didn't feel nervous. Dylan was like, why are they acting like that?
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get a little sus of Danielle or Carolyn. He's like, yeah. I trusted both of them, but it was, they went too hard in that reaction.
Yeah.
So now I think Dylan's going to sniff it out.
I agree. I completely agree.
So then when we go back in the turret, we mm-hmm. find out that this round, so exciting.
Yes.
They can either murder or they can recruit. Yes. They finally are able to
recruit. It's been a while.
I know. I'm so excited. And I love how they do it late in the game like this. It's so much fun. So Carolyn does not want to recruit.
So interesting.
Carolyn does not want to recruit. She wants to murder. Danielle's like, we need to recruit. As this is happening, Danielle actually tells Carolyn, and she wasn't going to tell her before, who got the shield.
Yes.
Carolyn doesn't believe Danielle
right.
because Tom told her.
She didn't.
And lied.
Yes.
So Danielle's actually being honest,
yes.
and now Carolyn doesn't believe her. So now Carolyn's even less prone to want to recruit who Danielle wants to recruit.
Well, yeah, and then Danielle she should have not done this by saying, I want to recruit Brittany. It's like,
you
should have recruited someone that was like, you should have recommended someone that maybe liked Carolyn or something. So there was at least a little bit of like faith there. But being like openly trying to recruit your bestie is crazy.
And Carolyn's like, no.
Right. There's no world.
I don't trust you. And I'm knowing you and your best friend in this turret. And she's like, you think I'm going to turn on you? She's like, yeah.
She already did. Literally.
Numerous times.
So it's really interesting how. And I understand where Carolyn's coming from a little bit, where it's like, it's been hell.
No, I would not.
Before in other shows, it's like, oh, invite him in because we're all homies. It's like, no, this has been horrible. Like,
no.
We've all turned on each other every time. I don't trust anyone.
No.
We're not
and
doing
Danielle's
it.
Trying to be like, three gamer women, we'd win it together. It would be historic.
Yeah,
and I was like, I would not believe.
I promise I'll try, like, split the money. I'm like, no, you wouldn't.
There's no chance. But here's the thing. So Danielle had said, which makes perfect sense, that they need to recruit a woman because now everyone is like, oh, the traitor has to be a woman or women. So let's bring on another woman so that then they'd be more likely to get eliminated.
But
another
again,
woman
that doesn't speak to Carolyn's lack of trust.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? She's like, okay, so you want to invite someone on so we can get rid of them? Like, even that's
right.
already just kind of like, even if it's smart, it's like you're inviting
but
no trust.
That's what Danielle's saying. This is my thought. This is why I think they need to bring on, even though I know it's then risky for them because they could then get found out. But Dylan just saw the two of them talking.
Yeah.
And he's a leader in that house. He has big sway in that house when he wants to. Dylan just saw them talking. So here's the combination of this. You know, the leader in the house now is sus of you. He saw you guys talking.
Yeah.
And they're talking about that it has to be a woman. Everybody trusts Dylan.
Yeah.
So if you bring Dylan on, he can help.
Yeah.
Now, higher likelihood that it might be one of you that gets eliminated because they're looking for a woman and he's a guy. But I just think without bringing Dylan on, he's now going to potentially bring your names to the table. If you don't choose Dylan, you have to choose Gabby. Because first of all, for the thrill of it, because
oh
we
God.
Want Gabby. We said this from day one. We're like, we want Gabby to be a traitor
or
get recruited.
Yes.
Because I think she'd be so good at it. Number one, no, I don't think anyone suspects her except Dylan. I'm wrapping around here. And she's smart, she's funny, she's well-liked in the house. You bring on her as your woman, who could be more likely a traitor to the other players. Dylan has voted for Gabby twice. No one has any idea who could be a traitor in this house now, right? But leader Dylan has voted for Gabby. So there's a chance that you pull Gabby in.
She gets voted off
because Dylan... He saw you guys. He's a little sus. You guys can say, hey, listen, we love Gabby and Carolyn's friends with Gabby, but we were sitting together because we're suspicious of Gabby and Carolyn was telling
And then
me.
She gets voted off and then they look more innocent. Yeah.
So I think Gabby has to be the call. I think it's the smartest call. I think Dylan would be a good call, but it's risky for them. But I think Gabby has to be the call. You bring Brittany on, it's going to be a nightmare.
Well, you can't bring.
It's going to bring a night. It's going to be a nightmare, and I don't think Carolyn's going to go for it.
No.
So
it'll be interesting to see if two people are like, I won't do it, I won't do it, like where they're going to end up. They're going to force the hand.
I am praying that Gabby is brought in as a trainer for our entertainment purposes, but also she's so stinking smart. I could then see them doing a 1-2, and her and Carolyn are like besties. Mm-hmm. That what if they come for Danielle? Because Sierra floated Danielle's name, and now Sierra is gone as a faithful. So it's like maybe that's then how we shift it to Danielle. It's got to be Gabby. It's got to be Gabby. But yes, fantastic episodes. Left us on a cliffhanger. Now I'm like chomping at the bits to watch the next episode because I can't wait to see if they pick. They better not just murder someone. Just for our entertainment, you got to recruit somebody. You got to recruit somebody.
You have to recruit. It's too fun. And they're not to be, they're floundering. They don't trust each other. They need a non-biased party in there.
Mm-hmm.
They need someone who hasn't been, like Gabby would be perfect.
We need someone else. And also, Gabby's voted good this whole time.
Yeah.
So it looked good for them. Voting for Rob, even though her friends weren't voting for Rob.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Anywho. Well, family.
Awesome.
We love you so much. Tune in next. Or not two next. Days. Tune in 2 days. Tune in on Wednesday Grant's episode recap. I cannot wait. Love you all so very much. And we'll see you on Wednesday, okay?
See you in a couple days. Love you. Bye.